An historic moment in the history of Northern Ireland. The once unthinkable will happen in Derry/Londonderry later today as the leader of unionism attends the funeral of a former IRA commander. Arlene Foster, the DUP leader, will attend the funeral of her former partner in government, Martin McGuinness, the man who removed her from office in January in his last political act, but also the man who is a commander in an organisation who tried to murder her father. Do you admire what Arlene Foster is doing? The symbolism of someone who is now attending the funeral of a man who led an organisation who tried to kill her father. Is this Arlene Foster reaching out to the nationalist community, and how important is it? Within the last few moments, I've been speaking to the former Chief Constable here in Northern Ireland, Sir Hugh Orde, and he gave this reaction to Arlene Foster's decision to go.
I think it's exactly what you would expect Arlene to do. It is important, and what she's said publicly, I think, is very important about moving forward. And we should not forget that Martin McGuinness and other members of Sinn Féin attended the funerals of police officers who were killed during my time. So I think it's just another way of reinforcing the fact that the peace process is marching on, so we are all replaceable, and no doubt, you know, Martin's void will be filled by other competent politicians. And I think, you know, the symbolism of showing we're all here together to move Northern Ireland on is very important. It's the right thing to do.
We'll hear more from Sir Hugh Orde later. Alison Morris from the Irish News with us this morning. Alison, morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Malachy O'Doherty, good morning to you, Malachy.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Alison.
Good morning to you. You can read all about Arlene's decision in the Belfast Telegraph today. Their front page headline, Arlene, I'll be at Martin's funeral. Just before I hear from both of you this morning, the TV leader, Jim Allister, joining us today. Well, Arlene Foster is reaching out to nationalists and others who do not share her opinion, Mr. Allister, but who they admire Martin McGuinness. They acknowledge the role he played in the peace process. And Arlene Foster, alongside many other people, are going to Mr. McGuinness's funeral.
And in doing that, I think she's making the wrong choice, because she's prioritising political advantage over victims. Despite all the platitudes that come from that source about victims' feelings, Mrs. Foster has made a conscious decision to attend the funeral of chief victim maker, Martin McGuinness, and thereby she is prioritising her desire to rehabilitate herself with Sinn Féin in pursuit of a deal with Sinn Féin. Because a funeral is an occasion not just when you mourn the deceased, but when you celebrate their life. Well, like many of his victims, I see nothing to celebrate in the life of Martin McGuinness.
Well, of course, you don't know what is in Arlene Foster's head and why she is going. And you know, is it not crass on this day, Jim, to suggest that she's doing this for political gain rather than for the betterment of Northern Ireland, to reach out to a community, to another community, and to people who don't think like her? But she wants to acknowledge their pain as someone who is important to them has died.
It's indisputably a political decision to go. And in reaching out to those you've described, she is turning her back on those that were made victims by McGuinness's pursuit of terrorism.
I'm reading from the Belfast Telegraph today where she says she's mindful of the empty chairs and broken hearts as a result of the terrorism Martin McGuinness supported.
And sadly, she's turning her back on those empty chairs to take her place in her chair at something to celebrate the life of the victim maker, McGuinness. I think that's inappropriate. I think it's a wrong choice for the DUP, but it is their choice. And I do feel that it is prioritising the political compulsion of the moment tied in with the talks process over the interests of those who were made victims by Martin McGuinness. You know, we lost some of our best citizens would still be alive today, but for the wicked direction and practice of terrorism by Martin McGuinness. That's an unpalatable truth, but it is the truth. And in doing what she's doing today, to that extent, celebrating the life of Martin McGuinness, Mrs. Foster is despite all the platitudes about victims, turning her back on that.
Maliki?
Well, Jim's entitled to his opinion, and he expresses it very well. And in a sense, it would also be a great pity if the point that he's making wasn't being made, because there are many people who agree with him, and he does speak for a lot of people. So I mean, I congratulate him on his consistency and making his point with such exactitude. Not everybody agrees with him. Jim has not agreed with anything that Arlene Foster has done on her current political journey, going back to the very inception of the power-sharing executive. She was a partner in that executive with Martin McGuinness for 10 years. And so Jim has opposed all of that, and he was right to, and by his own lights, and we know that, so we're not going to get into an argument on that level. I think... The idea that the a funeral is celebrating the life of a person. I've been to many funerals, and as I get older, I go to more funerals. I don't always feel that I'm celebrating the life of the person that that I go to. I'm showing some solidarity with a community of people who are hurt by the loss, who feel the loss, as I might do myself. I can't imagine that it would be anything but bad manners not to go to the funeral of someone who was a close colleague for so long. And so I think there's a normality and an ease to that, which makes me fret or worry about this actually even being a news story. I mean, we should be at the stage where this is just a normal, sensible thing to do. As for it being political, well, yes, there's a political possible consequence of this, and there's also a political possible consequence of not doing it. If you're going to be really coldly pragmatic about it, Clinton's going to be there, the President of Ireland is going to be there, Peter Robinson's going to be there, Mike Nesbitt's going to be there. For Arlene not to be there would be as clear a statement as her being there. So she can't get off the hook of there being a political meaning in it, and there's nothing actually she can do about that. She's stuck with that. So I think it's good to just fall back on the ordinary civilities that you do go to the funeral of a colleague. And as far as the victims are concerned, Jim is right to be there for the victims. That is a good thing, that voice of discontent about this is heard, and we are hearing it from others. But there are others within the victim sector, and I mean, I know someone who has a great respect for Jim is Anne Travers, because they worked so well together on the SPAD bill. But Anne is saying, Arlene should go to the funeral. Anne has been saying that on Facebook, and Anne is one of the most articulate and meaningful and deadly, if you like, critics of the IRA because of the hurt that the IRA caused her. And so I think for Anne to be saying that is tapping into an understanding that there are civilities that are right between colleagues and should go ahead.
And Jim Allister, look at some of the commentary today about Martin McGuinness. Barack Obama has described Martin McGuinness as a man who had the wisdom and courage to pursue peace and reconciliation for his people. Barack Obama said his leadership was instrumental in turning the page on a past of violence and conflict that he knew all too well. In our own meetings, he said, "I was always struck by his good humour and persistent belief in a better future for the people of Northern Ireland."
Barack Obama didn't lose any relatives at the hands of the IRA. The hands of Martin McGuinness, so it's easy for him to eulogize from a distance. But the cold reality is that there are countless families across this province who have that empty chair. Why? Because Martin McGuinness pursued and directed terrorism and oversaw and sanctioned multiple acts of terrorism. And that's the unpalatable truth. And, I'm not going to close my eyes to that. Yes, victims, the point's well made that some victims have taken a different view and they're perfectly entitled to it. I've been asked for my view. I'm giving my view. And I think that in attending today, Mrs. Foster, generally on behalf of unionism, is endorsing the prioritising of celebrating the life of McGuinness over the actions of McGuinness. And I think that does great hurt to the many victims of that particular victim maker.
Brian in West Belfast. Morning, Brian.
Hello, Stephen. Stephen, just want a quick comment. Belfast saying here, fair play to Arlene. And thank God there's only one Jim Allister. Because Jim Allister was on the radio the other day, and he's quite right that he had his own views on the past of Martin McGuinness. But he also criticised Martin McGuinness for what he did in his future and in Stormont, what he'd done. I mean, you can't win with Jim Allister. You know, you just can't win at all. You know,
well, you wouldn't. You have to hear Martin McGuinness regret, express remorse for, repudiate the actions of himself and the IRA. What I have constantly heard to his death was the justification of those actions, for which there can be no justification. I have constantly heard him elevate his Republican code of honour above telling the truth. We had it at Savile. We've had it every time since. So, you know, there is nothing there for me to respect when I realise that what we're talking about is an unrepentant terrorist. And that is the epitaph.
What do you say to the fact that when he forced the IRA to give up the guns, we all know what he did, peace and so forth. That's nothing to you at all, is it?
Isn't the other reality, Jim, to your view, that no one has to walk behind coffins or walk through the rubble of their own town centre anymore? And like it or not, Martin McGuinness assisted in getting us there.
So we're meant to applaud terrorists because for different tactical reasons they cease to be terrorists, and to forgive their terrorism? I don't think so. No one made Martin McGuinness be a terrorist. He chose to be a terrorist. So it's not something to applaud him when for tactical reasons he goes in a different direction and therefore forgive that which he did. He should never have been a terrorist in the first place. And they've had so many young people into terrorism and sanctioned so much terrorism during his life. That is the legacy of Martin McGuinness. The legacy of Martin McGuinness is demonstrated in our graveyards across our province. That's the truth of it.
Alison Morris?
I think one thing I would always say about Jim Allister is he remains consistent. You know, we live in an evolving, changing world, and Jim's sort of steady, you know, force that always contains the same views. But I, as a journalist, have interviewed scores of victims over the years, and I wouldn't for one minute say that I believed that this is what they wanted, A, B or C. Because as you know as well, Stephen, when you interview victims, no two families want the same thing. So to say that Arlene Foster attending a funeral is an insult to the victims and say that as a sweeping comment is wrong, because we heard yesterday that Anne Travers said she felt that Arlene Foster should go. Alan McBride said he felt she could go. I think there's very few people who have felt the amount of pain and hurt that Alan McBride has been through. He said he thought it was the right thing for her to do. It's clear by the amount of time it took before Arlene confirmed that she was going, that she was taking counsel among her own party, possibly among her own family. It wasn't a decision that she made overnight. I have no doubt it's a political decision, but that doesn't mean it's the wrong decision. You can make a political decision for the right reasons, and I think that the right reasons are that Arlene Foster realised that her attitude towards Martin McGuinness, Sinn Féin and nationalists in general prior to the last election did her no favours, and in fact it energised the nationalist vote and it brought thousands of people out to vote that wouldn't have previously. And what that did was, for the first time since the formation of the state, it put the union she held so dear in jeopardy. And I think that she realises that, and she knows that this is the right thing to do. It's the statesmanlike thing to do. She may not be totally comfortable with what she's about to do today, but it is the right thing to do. And it's not only the right thing to do in terms of paying respect to Martin McGuinness, it's the right thing to do for the unionist community, to show that we can have a future and we can move on and we don't all have to live in the past.
And for those victims who are looking around today, as Jim says, and their loved one isn't there?
But Arlene Foster is a victim. You know, Arlene Foster watched the IRA shoot her father. She was on a bus that was blown up. She is a victim. So for to say that she is insulting victims when she herself is one, I think is completely wrong. It's putting, you know, mouths into the words of people. There are always victims who are going to be, whose wounds are sore, they're open. And I have spoke to those people, and I don't think when you say what would help you, what would help ease your pain, there's literally nothing. You know, there's nothing. There isn't a court case in the world. You know, there isn't. There's nothing that'll happen because it's just so raw. And you can understand that their grief is just so deep that I don't think that they'll ever get over it in this life. And I think for those people, we have to be really mindful of their feelings this week. And I think that their feelings have been very raw this week. That doesn't mean the whole world should come to a standstill, that the political process should stop, that the peace process should stop. I think that we always have to be looking to the next generation and the generation after that. And I think that she needed to do this in order to help move the process along.
Mark and Antrim, you were on with us a couple of days ago. Your father was murdered by the IRA in 1989. Do you welcome Arlene Foster's decision to go to Mr. McGuinness's funeral, or are you uncomfortable with it?
Can I say, Stephen, just before I make that comment, that today, the day of Martin McGuinness's funeral, I'm also conducting the funeral of my elder sister today at 1 o'clock. My sister was a daddy's girl who never, ever got over the death of the murder of our father. That day, the light went out in her eye, and she went down a long, slow road, and she passed away this week.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Her funeral today, so it's quite poignant for me and my family that Martin McGuinness has also been buried today. It's a personal decision for Arlene whether she goes or not. I believe she's been politically coerced. And the collective term for people attending funerals are mourners. I don't believe Arlene will be mourning Martin McGuinness today, so that's satisfactory for me. I'd be mourning myself today.
So I'm just trying to work out, sorry, from what you've said there, you think it's the right or the wrong thing for her to have gone, to be going?
I would prefer that she didn't go. But I won't slate her for it. I believe it's a political decision, and she's going as a matter of her office rather than as a mourner. As I say, if she's not mourning Martin McGuinness, and I don't believe she will be, then that's satisfactory for me.
And the symbolism, Mark, of Arlene Foster reaching out to the memory of someone who supported an organisation who tried to murder her father.
Martin McGuinness never gave us peace. It wasn't within his gift to give us peace just because you stopped murdering. As I said, he only entered into the agreement if there was something in it for his lot, and they got out of jail, and he assured that nobody else would ever be convicted of murders or would go to jail after the Good Friday Agreement. That was the only reason why he entered into it. It wasn't for the good of the people. It was for the good of his organisation. I mean, Martin McGuinness took away much more than he ever gave, and yet we're being asked to remember him for what he contributed. He contributed nothing unless he was going to get something on the other hand for his organisation, as I say, freedom of his prisoners, and the guarantee that there would be the on-the-runs would be taken care of, and all the past crimes would be forgotten about, as they have been. And that's where families of mine are affected.
And yet you're hearing...
I'm burying my own sister today. She's another victim of Martin McGuinness's IRA. She never got over the death of my father and has put her into an early grave today at 1 o'clock.
And yet you're hearing tributes to Martin McGuinness from the likes of Barack Obama. Bill Clinton will be there today.
And as Jim Allister said, they didn't lose anybody to the hands of the IRA. Bill Clinton came over here when the Good Friday Agreement was signed, and he endorsed our prisoners all being released, murderers being released early. And yet, when the Libyan bomber was released early because he was dying of cancer, he gave off, saying that person should have rotted in jail. So it's double standard from Bill Clinton. But it's a personal matter for him to attend the funeral. I don't think he's there as a mourner. He just wants to be seen there because he thinks to be seen at.
Maliki?
So he will go to... Who will really be mourning Martin McGuinness today, other than those who loved him?
Well, we don't know what Arlene will be feeling in her heart. To address the idea of whether McGuinness repudiated his past and could have done more, your granny told you to judge people by their actions rather than their words. And the simple fact is that Martin McGuinness totally reversed the policy that he killed for. And that was the refusal to accept that Northern Ireland could be internally reformed. That was what the IRA campaign was about. Martin McGuinness was a murderer. Martin McGuinness was the leader of murderers. And I never endorsed the Provisional IRA campaign. I always opposed it. But I can see what is as plain as a pikestaff is that Martin McGuinness changed his mind. Now, Martin Mansurg was on Good Morning Ulster yesterday morning, and he said that he had said several several meetings with McGuinness before the, you know, in the at the initial stages of the peace process. And he was asked, and he said, you know, basically the thing had run its course. The IRA campaign was a busted flush. It was not going to gain anything. And McGuinness had to convert it into something else. Now, they got a lot of help and they converted it into considerable political advantage for themselves. And that is what a political party would do. But Martin McGuinness did change his mind fundamentally about the core theology of the IRA. And he changed it radically. And he, if you judge him by his actions rather than by, you know, he, okay, he refused to admit what I have just said is the truth, but it is the truth and it's the plain truth. And then he enacted a complete commitment to devolution and power sharing. So judge a man by his actions rather than his words. And what he did was the right thing, and he made devolution work. And he did it for 10 years. You know, to discount all of that and to say that only the mistakes of the previous years are what the man is to be judged by is unfair. Now, yes, what he did was atrocious. Yes, he might have expected to be dead by the age of 30. Yes, he might have expected to spend the rest of his life in jail. And yes, he probably woke up every morning of his life in the later years thinking, phew, you know, imagine that, you know. But still in all, it was, you know, it was a better thing than to have carried on. And Arlene Foster acknowledged that, and Arlene Foster was right to acknowledge that. And the other thing, and we don't know, you know, Arlene Foster is, you know, there's this kind of assumption in the air that the whole thing went wrong when Arlene Foster and Martin McGuinness started working together, the Marlene concept, you know, of last year. Arlene Foster and Martin McGuinness have been at the executive table for 10 years. They knew each other across that table better than any other two ministers at that table ever did, right? And, you know, did they just smoulder and hate each other? Did Arlene never respond in a personal, warm way to Martin McGuinness? I would very, very much doubt that. I would assume that there is something of a foundation there. And Peter Robinson has described it as well, where he actually spoke of something deeper than friendship. I think, you know, in some ways people are almost going too far in their eulogies to McGuinness. I agree with that. But I can't imagine that there isn't something of a genuine sadness in Arlene Foster that Martin McGuinness has died.
0303 80 55 55. How do you feel about this at home? William in Armagh. Morning, William.
Hello, Stephen. How are you doing? I've been listening to Jim Allister there and the discussion about Martin's previous life and so forth. Well, I just reflecting, and I think really, I certainly wouldn't have wanted to live in the type of life that the early part of the 70s and 80s with the paramilitaries and politicians were bringing to us in that stage. And Martin McGuinness was heavily involved in that situation. But I equally certainly wouldn't want to live in a world designed by Jim Allister, his fundamentalist, unforgiving, vengeful bitterness. I think he's been eaten up by his own sort of internal bitterness. And
well, remember that Mr. Allister is reflecting the views of some victims who have a deep pain and therefore a deep resentment for people eulogising Mr. McGuinness when actually he brought pain to their household.
I'm not eulogising Martin McGuinness. I'm talking about the world that I perceive that I would like to live in. And I do not think I would like to live in the intolerant world that Jim Allister's vision for life. I would much prefer to live in the world that Arlene Foster and Martin McGuinness were striving for to achieve over the last number of years. I would much prefer to live in that type of world. Ron Jim sort of, we're looking back on the terrible things. The terrible things happened on both sides of this community. It just didn't happen on one side. There's hurt all over the place. It's endemic. It's sort of in our bones. So I much prefer to live in a world where Arlene and Martin were trying to bring us, rather than the world that Jim Allister's in.
William, thank you. Jude White, your mother was killed during the Troubles by the UVF. What are your thoughts about Arlene Foster going to Mr. McGuinness's funeral?
Well, like most rational people, I welcome it. I mean, it's a positive move. But as Malachy said, it's nearly beyond belief that in a modern civilized society, supposedly, this is even a story. They were colleagues for years, and they are the political hierarchy, the top of the political hierarchy here. I mean, one of the most important things I feel that needs to be said is that personal, to build for personal relationships and to show respect is, I mean, is a life-changing thing. I mean, I remember, for example, the late David Irvine, who I still say is probably the greatest man that I ever met in my life. And he was responsible in a roundabout way for the murder, well, of my mother and Constable Michael Dawson, and I suspect hundreds of people. And I can remember meeting him. We did a class together, and a student said to him, "Your organization murdered my father. What have you got to say for yourself?" And it was one of those moments where, you know, the sweat has gone down your back because you're so afraid of what the outcome was going to be. And what he did was he walked across, put his hand out. She initially did not take his hand. And he then said, "Look, I am working night, day, all day, every day to prevent this ever happening again. It shouldn't have happened. And I apologize to you and your family." These are the sorts of gestures we need here in the society. Martin McGuinness was a brilliant man in many respects, who had a past. But that past has to be contextualized. Why was Martin McGuinness in the IRA? Who were the IRA? Why have they gone away? How have things changed here? And I suppose the most important thing that we, us people who are growing old by the minute, and who'll all be at our own funeral in 15 or 20 years, the most important thing we can give, I think, to this generation coming behind is an absolute apology for what had actually happened. And, you know, an assurance, because I don't believe we will ever get, you know, a resolution of this victim's issue ever. But at least an assurance that you can go downtown without fear of being stopped by the British Army or the UR, or that your pub's going to be blown up, or your father or mother on their way to work are going to be assassinated. So it is a welcome move, but I want to see more of it, much more of it. I want to see a torrent of it, in fact, coming, because we cannot resolve the problems of this society if we continue to cherry pick and go back to the 70s and go back to the 80s.
Okay.
The victims' issue cannot be resolved. We simply have to take, we are collateral damage. It is very sad, and it will never be resolved, but certainly with this generation.
Jude White, thank you very much indeed.